Everybody Can is a conversation about the people and organizations that strengthen our community by volunteering, donating, serving on boards, or sometimes just showing up in micro moments of kindness. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, tenaciously curious and committed to the notion that connecting and serving others provides a space for one to have a sense of purpose and belonging. And I'm telling you, when you move into a community, a sense of belonging comes from that neighbor who knocks on your door with the apple pie, or the neighbor who stops by and just says, hey, welcome, here's my email. It can be difficult, and we're coming out finally out of a season of isolation, but next door is a social platform that is also a form of a neighborhood, a place where a community can exchange information and resources. It too relies on volunteers, and we have today with us an Uber user, volunteer, and lead, Dan Needles. And I'd love to talk with him a little bit more about his role and the value of this online community bulletin board. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So it's exciting to have a chance to actually kind of peel back, open the back door of the next door, if you will. And I'm curious, how is it that you got so involved in Nextdoor? Your bio on the website shows a significant interest beyond the typical user volunteer, and it started in Texas. Tell our listeners a little bit about your engagement with Nextdoor.
Yeah, part of it would probably help to understand my background too. I work in IT and computers, and so I'm very familiar with what they were doing. It started in 2013. And basically, I was looking to set up a website for a community there called Twin Creeks, which is just outside of Austin. And I was going to build it myself. And then it just happened that Nextdoor, literally that weekend, sent a notice out saying, hey, we're starting the new service. We're trying this out. We're not sure if it's going to make it. You know, so we'd really like to have a couple places we can try it out at. And so I actually went ahead and engaged them, brought the service in. Over the next year, I grew it to, I think, about 800. And then we ended up moving from Austin up to Port Ludlow. And so in 2014, I started one there, grew it to about 1,000 people. And then we moved from Port Ludlow to Port Townsend around 2016. And we've been here ever since. During that process, since I had a development background early on, I really helped them in certain areas of the technology and gave input. I'm naturally a consultant by trade, and I worked for like 50 Fortune 500s, all these different companies. And so it's something natural for me to do. As they've gotten bigger, you know, they need a lot less help. And what it did for us, I mean, Nextdoor in a nutshell is really just Facebook for a local setting, for local communities to help neighbors connect. You know, often we're stuck in our electronic world. We're often stuck in our own homes, isolated. And it's a way to kind of bridge that gap and provide some social connection. A perfect example, just real quick, is I had my neighbor who moved in. This was over the winter, and we had talked, but she didn't have my phone number or anything else. She reached out to me on Nextdoor and asked me to disconnect her hoses before a freeze. And that was a perfect example where it came in pretty good use because she had no other way to get a hold of me.
That's brilliant. She, yeah. So she had some familiarity. So sometimes we talk to nonprofits that have their own identity that just grew out of a development here in Port Townsend. Some of our nonprofits have architecture outside that they are more nationalized. And so I always try to point out to volunteers who may be asking about organizations, it's lovely to have that consistency and backbone that there's a codified process and it's just you're not swinging around making it up. But that said, under Nextdoor, we have a vibrant conversation among many topics. And when you likened it to Facebook, I almost think it's even better for the purpose that it's supposed to have. You know, I'm thinking of your emergency management stuff. When I got an invitation to Nextdoor, I thought, do I need another? But what put me over the edge was this is a communication piece for our county, for a region, and for our neighbors. Could you talk a little bit more about the services that Nextdoor provides besides that wonderful one-on-one moment?
Yeah. So, of course, you can post about different things. So any sort of local events, garage sales, lost pets, things like that, that comes up a lot. We do have emergency services come in, guaranteed that when the power goes out, you're going to have a bunch of people chiming in from different areas telling it, I still have power here, I don't have power there. And often that will beat PUD's website in terms of its updates. Mm-hmm. And one thing that also is helpful is often, you know, the power doesn't go out luckily that often. So you won't know what websites to go to. And so it'll be often available, and you can, and people point, hey, go to this website. They provide the link. And so if, even if you're on your mobile at that point, going across Verizon or something, you're able to hit the link, and then you can see where the outages are and things along those lines. So,
yeah, you do bring up an interesting component. It's like crowdsourcing information. I know that I've seen at times, maybe our power isn't out, but we've had a glitchy internet service, and you can help identify and support the organizations or the businesses that are like lacking, and the timeliness is greatly improved. Talk a little bit about Nextdoor's nuanced, when you say garage sales and all of these other areas, not just the posting for a user, but there are platforms where one could find more nuanced help.
One of the links on the side is Discovery, and it shows a map, and it has a number of icons will appear showing different places of business. Also, like during COVID, they started this program where people could offer help. Like, I'm able to go get groceries for someone. And so that's also posted there. Also, there's like groups and events, and that will be shown. There's also other venues along those lines. Another thing is, you know, if you're an old timer like myself, you probably harken back to the days before Google and Yellow Pages and things along those lines. And that sometimes is an issue. And so one thing you can do is when you type in nextdoor.com, if you do /directory, it'll pull up a directory of people in your neighborhood that have published, that have chosen to publish their information, because you can actually choose not to. You just have your first name and last initial. But if you've chosen to have your name there, you know, you're looking for someone, it's a way to connect. In fact, that's how my neighbor got a hold of me. She looked me up, connected, and then was able to send me a message.
So it's voluntarily input contact information within the Discovery page on Nextdoor's website. But you're telling us a URL that includes /directory is kind of a behind the scenes access to this directory, but it's no longer supported by a direct link.
Yeah, I used to have a direct link on the left-hand side. This is part of the growing pains of them going more corporate and larger. So some growing pains where that link was lost. I think they primarily did that because our site's pretty tame, but there's some, you know, areas of like inner Chicago and stuff where it's been an issue. So they kind of, that's why they obscured the link. It works much better for a small town like ours.
Yes, yes, yes. No, I use that function of the map during COVID, and it was just so heartwarming, Dan. It was just like someone, the drop down would open up, I'll pick up your groceries and medications. And I actually reached out to a couple and was able to interview them during COVID. And it was really cool. So listeners, if you're thinking of, I like to do a one-off, if I'm on my way somewhere, put your pin on that map under Discovery and let it be at your leisure, at your convenience, but you'll be serving someone's need deeply. Which reminds me, for those of you who are just now joining us, KPTZ 91.9 is the radio station you're listening to, and we're talking to one of our Uber volunteers from the Nextdoor platform, Dan Needles. And you can find the rest of this information in the future on our website under the drop-down tab of podcast. So Dan Needles from Nextdoor, let's be clear to say, you're an Uber volunteer. You're not compensated, even though you were part of that beta back in the day. And so you have a really good sense of the intention and the tools. And so we talked a little bit about the intention. We talked about maybe a little bit that there's nuanced regions. For our region, what are the best tools and things we should encourage our potential volunteers to help with Nextdoor or our users? What would you say are maybe a little bit mysterious? Let's demystify some things and inform them about tools.
Yeah, well, I mean, the biggest thing is everyone who joins Nextdoor is by default a volunteer of some kind. What I mean by that is when you're on the platform, it's neighbor helping neighbor. That's the whole point. And so if you see a problem or if you see an issue, you can basically provide a solution, you know, is like, or you can point out or direct. And that's the best way you can help. So if someone's asking for help, this and that, or needs information and you have it, then you just post it. And that's one of the things that happens. Additionally, the next layer of kind of support is to be a lead. And that's someone who basically kind of watches the posts and things in the area and contacts people if, you know, it goes a little bit past the guidance and what's expected to be posted. And specifically what's posted on Nextdoor, it should be locally based, you know, something that involves locality of Port Townsend or Port Ludlow or wherever you're from. You know, something, if you went to a neighborhood picnic with children present, and you stood up and shouted it out, because that's what you're doing on the general feed. If you could do it there, then you can do it on Nextdoor. If you If it's a little bit questionable, then yeah, you probably shouldn't do there. We do have other things though. We have groups because there's some contentious topics that people want to talk about. For example, the deer or the potholes, you know, or the local mill, right? That provides really good employment, but provides, you know, certain gases that can be a bit noxious for people. You know, so those are contentious topics. And so we try to put them in groups off the main feed so people can opt in to discuss those if they want. And that's the biggest thing to understand about Nextdoor is it's an opt-in model. So if you're posting something, it's on you to make sure that the audience you're addressing, you know, expects that sort of content. You shouldn't expect people to try to opt out from your content. If that's the case, then it's you're doing it in the wrong spot. You should probably do it in a group or something like that.
That's an interesting perspective, and I think that's well done. We have the benefit of this legacy of yours. I don't think most regions have this, so we can understand more thoroughly, more accurately, you know, the benefit of this. And as you're talking about these groups, I'm having a hard time thinking of any other platform that you have volunteers that say, you know what, let me help you into this group because you're going to get the fullness of what you're trying to do. And it isn't like it's being shoved aside. It helps all the users enjoy the platform in a different way. I sense it because I've seen it, you know, someone will pipe up and say, hey, you might want to take that to the wonderful group of potholes. And I think it's fabulous and well done. But it gets confusing because some people, you know, words are just flat words without the emotive expression and tone. And you can get a little bit put off by maybe someone's adjective that might be common for their culture, their family of origin. And how does that get addressed? The etiquette you mentioned about the picnic, but how could we help our users or people who use the platform be a little bit more thoughtful about giving a broader acceptance of what might be the true intention? Does that come up a lot?
Yeah, it comes up a fair amount. Well, for leads, it comes up all the time, right? Because since you're a lead, you're dealing with not the bulk of the posts. You're dealing with the small subset where there's issues. And so for me, it's probably something I'm more familiar with than most people because they don't have to do that. But in terms of how you deal with it, the first thing to understand is when you look at like any social media, any email, or people driving cars, there's a tendency towards road rage and these type of problems that can escalate. But if you see pedestrians on the street that bump each other, or you're in a meeting talking to someone, that sort of thing doesn't happen. And it happens to be because 80 or 90% of our emotional intent goes through, I think it's like 50 muscles in the face. And that's all they're there for, is to express what we're doing, just a quick glance. And so it's real easy to misunderstand where someone is coming from. And so that's the first thing that kind of helps. The biggest thing is if you feel triggered, like, you know, you get upset when you see something posted, the two things that are really important, if you can, is to one, kind of look inward and say, because usually what they're saying is not the issue. It's something that is triggering on your past or some other past thing that's bringing the emotions up. And it's kind of an opportunity to look and deal with it. The second piece is to hold emotional space for that person and realize just because they're having a problem and not behaving correctly doesn't mean you have to respond in kind and do the same thing at the same time. Now, if it goes on, then, you know, we often have to intervene a bit more. But often what will happen is it'll just kind of play itself out and die out if the person is allowed to be upset, express, and then it just dissipates. And then the other thing is just understanding how the platform works. Like, for example, if anything gets contentious like that, it's pretty good sign that we need to move it to a group and off the main feed and try to, you know, let those people hash it out if they want to kind of work through it. And
still have their voice. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
But if I understood you earlier, to be clear, leads are volunteers and there's still that overarching Nextdoor employee that is trained to do the final check. So leads are just like jury members, we're not the final say.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. So this was actually something that I had to really think about when I first started my first site back in 2013, because it was clear they were going to own the administration. And it's actually kind of evolved over time. And so where it's at now is the leads come in. We basically, anyone on the site can flag a post or they can flag a person if they see a violation. What happens with the posts is that those posts go to the leads and all the leads vote on it in the general area. And then that result goes to corporate, and corporate is the one that makes the final decision. In terms of people reporting, that's all done by Nextdoor. Nextdoor will investigate, figure out what they, you know, make a decision on it and do an action. In most cases, what they try to do is if something's egregious, what they try to do is they try to talk to the person and or they put them off for a few days just to let them cool down and come back. If it's a persistent thing, you know, sometimes those times will get a lot longer. And that's just currently how they run the site. And it works, you know, moderately well. It's not perfect, but it's definitely better than a lot of social media that's out there.
Absolutely. And I didn't want to drill too far down. What we would say is just a small part of what happens on Nextdoor. I mean, the pets that get found and the events that get mentioned and the safety that's managed. I would have given my right arm to have a neighbor put on Nextdoor, hey, there is a mysterious stream coming down the hill when my sprinkler broke years ago. And it went and ran and ran. It was a huge water bill. And I bet someone would have tickled Nextdoor if it existed at that time. Let's talk about how to volunteer. So you've talked about the word lead. How does one get engaged? And is there other ways to get involved?
Yeah. So like I said, if you just join the site, that's a great way to help out. And like if someone's posting about a problem or an issue, answer, you know, if you have knowledge in that area, go ahead and answer and provide that support. That's like 90% of it. You know, it's like the other pieces you can do is for you can invite other members in. Like when my neighbor came, and I met her. How she got a hold of me eventually was because I told her about Nextdoor and she joined. And that's how she got on. And the easiest way, if you're already on Nextdoor, is if you look at the upper right, there's a like a person with a little plus sign. And you just press there and you can put a person's email address in and go through that process. If you're on your own and you want to join, you simply get on, you know, Nextdoor.com and basically ask to join, and it'll take you through a series of questions to get, you know, to vet you and bring you in. Unfortunately, I haven't gone through that process in a while, so I don't exactly remember. I do know they ask some information, like they do want to know your name. They definitely want to know your address. And they're doing these things because they want to make sure you're a real person.
Yeah.
The idea is they vet you coming in to make sure that you're not some sort of spam or some sort of scammer. And they're trying to filter all that out in up front. And then once you're in, then you're in. So that's kind of how it works.
Well, Dan, this has been a robust drill down in understanding and demystifying Nextdoor. Thanks for joining us today. I really appreciate your work and your effort. And I hope listeners, if you haven't joined Nextdoor, do. You can filter it how you wish. You can use it to your benefit as you choose. I have nothing to say but wonderful things about how it's improved my life. Thank you, Dan, for joining us today.
Well, thank you.
This is Missy Nielsen of Everybody Can. I thank you for taking the time to listen to our program today. It is my hope that in sharing these stories, we've uplifted and encouraged you to navigate your own path to connecting with like-minded folks, explore a new skill, or possibly consider changing the arc of your life and others. Now, today's special shout-out comes to us by way of Dan Needles. His observation about how well the Library Foundation, the Port Townsend Friends of the Library Foundation, works in coordination with the needs and the other organizations that supports our Port Townsend Library. Way to go, leaders. Way to go, board members. Way to go, volunteers. Have a great day.